The small gray man, meanwhile, had extracted a small pad from his pocket. He opened it and wrote,
"Provisional Government of the Planet Earth,"
inside the cover. And then he wrote on the top line of the next page, 1,200 credits, and his initials, and handed it to Sir Robert.
"Here is your passbook. Keep it in a safe place and do not lose it."
He shook hands. The small gray man drew a long sigh. Then he became brisk again. He turned over the lapel of his gray jacket and said something into a button-sized radio. The guard post outside said into the intercom to them,
"The top lights on his ship just went blue."
Kwong said,
"His radio signal is saying now, local conference, do not interrupt."
The small gray man beamed at them, rubbing his hands together in small, quick motions.
"Now that you are a customer, I can give you advice. And my first advice is act fast."
He was hauling a book out of his inside pocket. It said, "Address book," on it, in Cyclo.
"Cast to these addresses as quickly as possible. We will give the belligerents priority. The first would be Hockner. Home planet Hockner. Coordinates. Yes, Fountain Garden in front of Imperial Palace. Basic coordinates are..."
He rattled off a series of numbers, and Angus hastily scribbled them down. They were in the same order as Turl's huge book of planets. Angus said, suspiciously,
"Can you operate a console?"
The small gray man shook his head vigorously.
"Oh dear no, good heavens no, much less build one. I just have the addresses."
Then he noticed that Angus was about to bring the coordinates up to date with a pen and sheets of paper.
"Goodness gracious, don't you have a coordinate computer? This would take forever by hand. We haven't any time."
He lifted the lapel, but before he spoke, he looked for permission to Sir Robert.
"Can I have one of my crew bring in a computer? I'll also need the red boxes. Could you send out a guard to escort him in and back out? It won't explode, and I'm here."
Sir Robert nodded, and the small gray man rattled off something into his lapel radio, and a guard raced out. The small gray man waited, quite impatiently, but he patted the side of the console housing and beamed.
"All quite ornamental. Usually they are so plain, you know."
A gray-uniformed crew member raced in with the guard and deposited a rather impressive computer in the small gray man's hands, laid down a stack of what appeared to be red cardboard, and was escorted out. With a deft, repeated flick of his hand, the small gray man was working a ratchet on the right side of the computer. They could see different keyboards appearing and disappearing. He overshot and came back one.
"Now here is a coordinate computer,"
he said, laying it down before Angus.
"You feed in the exact firing time on these keys here. It must be the actual moment you will press your firing switch. Then you feed it, whether it is just cast or cast and recall, or exchange on these buttons here. And then you simply punch in the universe and the 8 basic coordinates of time 0 on the table on these keys here. Quite simple. You may have this one as a new accounts gift. I have several. Now let's see. I imagine we can begin firing by 2200 sidereal base universe."
He looked at his watch.
"That is in 8 minutes. A cast requires about 2 minutes. We have 30 casts to do. We will call in the basic civilized nations and omit Cyclo, which makes 29, but we will add Lord Voraz. Good gracious, I hope he is not in bed. That will take an hour. Then we will wait 3 hours and do a cast and recall. That will take 6 minutes each. We will make it easy on them so they won't arrive upset and cross, which is 3 hours. So in about 7 hours, plus a little organizing time, you should be able to get them here."
He was quite out of breath. He grabbed a stack of cards that sat on the red stack of cardboard and shoved them at Sir Robert.
"Just sign each one at the bottom, and I'll fill in the rest. Let me have them as fast as you sign."